This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 301, for the weekend of September 8th through September 10th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to a Backseat Box Office, a podcast where Art and myself talk about movies, TV, and other forms of entertainment, whatever we feel like talking about. Art, how's it going over there?
Oh, it is going so well, and there is so much to talk about. I can't wait to get started.
All right. Well, let's get started by waiting for me to open the freaking tab. Okay, here we go. All right. So at this point of the show, we talk about what happened last weekend as far as the box office. So for the weekend of September 1st through September 3rd, so we're not counting Monday, happy Labor Day, everybody. So here's how the box office was, and it's... It's not going to blow the doors off or anything. At number one, we have The Hitman's Bodyguard in its third week release at $10.5 million. At number two, we have Annabelle Colin Creation at $7.5 million. At number three, we have Wind River in its fifth week of release. Oh, and I probably should mention Annabelle Colin Creation was in its fourth week of release. So Wind River, $6.2 million, fifth week of release. Number four, we have Leap, exclamation point, at $4.9 million in its second week of release. And number five, Logan Lucky, $4.4 million in its third week of release. And there's your top five.
That is another sad week of performance. I mean, especially with nothing new coming out. Top five movies, 8, 12... like $30 million total, $40 million. That's a slow week in Hollywood.
Other things worth mentioning: number 14, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 40th anniversary, brought in $1.7 million on 901 screens for a screen average of 1,962. At number 18, Inhumans. I believe this was the IMAX screening of Inhumans. A cool $1.5 million on 393 screens. That's 3,817 per screen.
A little extra cash for something they were going to show on TV anyway is that doesn't hurt.
And at number 24, Tulip Fever, $1.2 million. 765 screens, 1,514 per screen. So, yeah, now we can all move on with our lives, now that we know how much Tulip Fever made in the theater. All right, so that's going to end our look at what happened last week. Let's talk about what's coming out in the theater this weekend. So, Art, why don't you tell us about IT, the Intraterrestrial? No, I don't know. Just...
IT, internet technology.
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that what you do for a living? What is IT? Yes.
Information technology. Thanks.
Oh,
for
information playing. Technology. That's what it. I'm not a technical guy. I don't know. You know, I push paper for a living. That's a dying industry. But anyway, no. This is It. This is Stephen King's It. This is the remake of Stephen King's It that has everybody all in a tizzy. It is 89% fresh on the tomato meter. 142 reviews counted, 127 fresh, 15 rotten. Out of 26,000 user ratings, 97% want to see it. New Line Cinema's horror thriller It, directed by Andy Muschietti, Mama, is based on the hugely popular Stephen King novel of the same name, which has been terrifying readers for decades. When children begin to disappear in the town of Derry, Maine, a group of young kids are faced with their biggest fears when they square off against an evil clown named Pennywise, whose history of murder and violence dates back for centuries. Rated R for violence, horror, bloody images, and language. Genre is drama, horror, mystery, and suspense. Directed by Andy Muschietti. Written by Chase Palmer, Kerry Joji Fukunaga, and Gary Dauberman. Does not have a listed runtime. So we have Bill Skarsgård, Jaden Lieberher, Jeremy Ray Taylor, Finn Wolfhard, Sophia Lillis. Okay. That is a short list there. Actually, I have been invited out to see this movie. So I will be catching the early show on Sunday, unless something goes horribly, horribly wrong, with my brother-in-law, Mark.
Cool.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay. So I'm just scanning the blurbs like we do at the bottom of the page on Rotten Tomatoes. Thank you to Jen Yamato, who says that it's 135 minutes for its runtime.
Okay.
She says
2.25 hours.
It fills its runtime with enough impressive visuals to keep its audience rapt, if not as emotionally invested as the source material it deserves. Colin Covert from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. If a blood-gushing horror film were to mate with a whacking good screwball farce, this would be the gripping R-rated result. And we have James Berardinelli from Real Views. He's a top critic. What is it about clowns anyways? Rating 3 out of 4. And the last one is Kirk Baird from the Toledo Blade. It has been a long time since a Stephen King adaptation could be called fun. So go see it, Art, and let everyone know how it is.
Yeah, I'll come back with a report. Did you ever see the original?
Never saw the original.
Okay. I remember I watched most of it when the miniseries aired on television way back in the day. But I don't think I've seen it since.
Tim,
it's just a hazy memory.
That was Tim Curry?
That was Tim Curry, yeah.
No, I have a huge gap for horror movies in my...
Yeah, that doesn't really seem to be your thing.
Yeah. All right. So, I don't know if I want to say that. Okay. The other movie coming out wide release is Home Again. 29% on the tomato meter. Out of 38 reviews, 11 fresh, and 27 rotten. You were going to say something, Mark?
I was just going to say, ouch.
Yeah. out of roughly 4,000 user ratings, 90% want to see it. So here's your description. Home Again stars Reese Witherspoon as Alice Kinney in a modern romantic comedy. Recently separated from her husband, Michael Sheen, Alice decides to start over by moving back to her hometown of L.A. with her two young daughters. During a night out on her 40th birthday, Alice meets three aspiring filmmakers who happen to be in need of a place to live. Alice agrees to let the guys stay in her guest house temporarily, but the arrangement ends up unfolding in unexpected ways. Alice's unlikely new family and new romance comes to a crashing halt when her ex-husband shows up, suitcase in hand. Home Again is a story of love, friendship, and the families we create. And one very big life lesson, starting over is not for beginners. It is PG-13 for some thematic and sexual material. This is a comedy written and directed by Haley Myers-Shire. No runtime on this one either. Starring the aforementioned Reese Witherspoon. We also has Nat Wolff, Lake Bell, Michael Sheen, who we talked about, and Candice Bergen as Lillian. So there you go.
Lake Bell. Isn't she the one from the Inner World?
Yes, that's her.
Okay, just that's making her. Sure I recognized her. Yeah. All right. No, very good. Very interesting. You know, Reese Witherspoon, America's Sweetheart. I won't be rushing out to the theater to see this unless Brittany wants to go see it. Other than that, this is probably a catch on cable later type movie.
Okay, so we're going to do one pro and one con for this one. The pro is from Johnny Olatsinski from the New York Post. You're always aware it's not a feat of filmmaking, but you couldn't care less. 3 out of 4 stars. And then Walter Adigo from the San Francisco Chronicle. Home Again is plain vanilla from start to finish. 1 out of 4 stars.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch, 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 ouch. So there you go. All right, so that was our look at what's coming out in the theater this weekend. And so now we're going to move on over to share time. But hold that thought for just a second, because We have some business to take care of. Some of the listeners of the show, and two of the hosts, mainly Art and myself, and Tony from Backseat Producers, we did a little five-man summer box office contest. And so each participant was supposed to pick four movies, and we were going to track the box office for the first 3 weeks of release. And even though Tad threw us a little curveball because he picked an untitled movie that was on the schedule that somehow got pulled later, and so we have assigned him a fourth movie so that we can all go on with our lives and declare a winner. So I'm going to read the final results in the reverse order. So coming in at number five, we have William with $313.8 million. His four movies were Cars 3, Pirates of the Caribbean, The House, and King Arthur. Coming in at number four is yours truly, Jeff. He had $363.8 million. So I had Despicable Me 3, Alien Covenant, The Mummy, and Snatched. In third place, we have host from BackseatProducers.com, Tony. Tony Mass came in with $487.8 million. His four movies were Wonder Woman, Transformers, I forget what the rest of the title, Baywatch, and then All Eyes on Me. At number two, we have Tad. Now, one thing about the missing movie is that we, Tony and I, came up with that we were going to assign him the Hitman's Bodyguard, even though it's kind of a retro, a retcon kind of thing. But so he was given the Hitman's Bodyguard, which came in at $55.2 million. So his total, $504 million and $504.1 million. He had Spider-Man Homecoming, War of the Planet of the Apes, the Hitman's Bodyguard, and then Amityville. And coming in at number one, we have Art. At least the trophy will be in our podcast and not on Backseat Producers. So, his four movies were Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Dunkirk, Dark Tower, and Valerian. Again, $512.3 million. So, congratulations to Art. Any have a victory speech?
I squeaked out a victory. I'm very happy with the performance of the movies I picked, and it was a lot of fun, and I hope we do it again. And I hope next time we get more participants.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We might, you know, we could do a fall, but whoever gets Star Wars, I mean, it's like, forget about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe we'll do it next summer. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But, it was, you know, as bad as I did, still had a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it was still fun. But you know what? Tony was utterly convinced I was going to blow everybody away by getting Guardians. And I just barely squeaked out a victory. And if Tad had gotten off his butt and made an actual pick on his own, he probably would have won.
Yeah, I mean, when we were looking at it, there's probably three or four movies that he could have hit on a dartboard and he would have got, right. You know, he would have brought the whole thing home.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a hair's breadth away. I mean, honestly, when we went through the snake draft and you didn't draft both Spider-Man, because you could have got Spider-Man before he did, and then when you didn't draft Dunkirk, I think if you'd have drafted those two movies, you would have been the one finishing on top. But that's neither here nor there. That's, you know.
Well, that's gonna happen. That's gonna happen in any in a later show. I will report on what the perfect draft would have been.
Right, but I'm not even talking about the perfect draft. Like, I was utterly shocked when you didn't take Spider-Man, and then shocked once again when you didn't take Dunkirk. But you know, it is what it is. It's what is that Monday morning quarterbacking?
Yeah. Or hindsight is always 20/20.
Hindsight is 20/20. No, that's not hindsight. That's in the moment. I told you I was shocked you didn't take Spider-Man, and in the moment when you had already made your pick, and I rubbed taking Dunkirk in your face. I said, "Why did you not take Dunkirk? Nolan is your guy." And you told me the reasons why, but I, like I said, in the moment, this is not 2020, this is not after the numbers, this is in the moment. I was like, I don't see why you did what you did. you know, and like I said, but I don't know. Well, yeah, we'll look at that.
Well, I thought I went, I was going after summer blockbusters.
Right.
And World War II to me is not a blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
And I was going for Alien. I went for Alien and the Mummy.
Yeah.
But I grossly underestimated how bad both of those movies did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I will. Dark Tower.
I don't know. My main defense for Despicable Me 3 is, what are the kids going to go see? Because, you know, there are going to be a lot of kids that probably go see Wonder Woman and Spider-Man. But, you know, the little kids, I don't know. There was uncertainty with Spider-Man just because it's a brand new Spider-Man.
But it wasn't. He was the best part of Civil War.
No, I understand was, that, but it, how long was he in it for, though?
But okay. And it was, and Marvel was back at the helm with it. I felt like it had so much promise, but I guess I was looking at it from through a different lens.
Right. Right. Well, right, I mean, it's kind of, I knew what I was getting with Despicable Me.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of, upside. I mean, with Wonder Woman too. I mean, yeah. Wonder Woman was a much bigger gamble.
Yeah, well, but Wonder Woman was a much bigger gamble based on what DC's been doing all along, which has kind of been falling on its face.
Right, but this is the first, you know, this is the first DC that I can remember, or at least if you want to do the DC Extended Universe, the first one without Zack Snyder as director. So that there might have been, that might have factored into it. But anyways, all right, so that was our summer movie box office contest. So now we can get on to share time. So, Art, what have you been up to?
Okay, so I have not been up to anything media related. So I thought I was going to go and immediately watch, finish. I have not even finished Defenders. That's how much I have watched nothing. We recorded last, and I ended up just being tired. I went to bed, and then other Tony came into town from Chicago. Kind of last minute, I set up a thing to do Twilight Imperium over Labor Day weekend because I had a long weekend, and he came into town for that. So we basically were hanging out, hitting up Boardwalk Games, hanging out with anybody who wanted to play games, and so I got a lot of games played, had a lot of fun, did a cookout, played Twilight Imperium basically all day on Saturday.
Now, when you say all day.
From noon to 9:30, when I had to leave before the game was actually over, and yet still I had a total blast. Brittany was actually working that night, and
so it was longer than a work shift, though. Well,
it was normal, longer than a work shift. Yes.
Not a postal worker work shift, but a normal.
No, longer than a normal 8-hour day. Yeah. But had a total blast. Had seven players for the game, five of which were basically new, but everybody thoroughly enjoyed the game. We're going to try and set it up, do it again for my next long weekend. So I'll put another thing on the board, invite a bunch of the same people. I think I'm going to cap it at six this time to try and actually get the game done in 8 hours, see how that goes. But yeah, it was a blast. Let's see. Sunday, hit up Boardwalk Games again. Monday, we did a cookout. We went to the pool. I had a bunch of people come over to the house. It was my buddy Richard and Sid and Daniel, and I named them by name because we all started talking just about different things we're doing in our life, and the podcast came up, and they're like, "What? You do a podcast?" I'm like, "Yeah, I told you guys I did a podcast." They're like, and they're like, wait, we need to take this more seriously. And they all open up their phones and they all subscribed to listen to the podcast. Sweet. So we'll see what comes of that.
So hello, new listeners.
Right. So, I mean, when this episode drops, I'm going to tag them all in it and say, you were all mentioned in this podcast. You should definitely follow up and go listen. Yeah. But yeah, so we had way too much fun, drank way too much alcohol, and even though some of us had to work that next day. But yeah, so it was a great weekend, but I watched literally nothing. So yeah, I need to get back on track and watch some things to be able to report next week.
All right. So my weekend, I am still trucking along on Game of Thrones.
Are you in season six now?
Season
seven.
I'm in season six.
Okay.
Halfway through episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. I have one more episode after that I have. And the rest is not currently available. So if I wait till December, season 7 Blu-ray will be out then. Or I just subscribe to HBO and I can stream it. So,
have you ever subscribed to HBO before?
No.
Okay. Because, you know, they got that, if you do it like the HBO Go.
Yeah.
You get like a 30-day free trial.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just, no,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I can do it that way. I'm enjoying the special features.
Okay.
So I might just wait for the Blu-ray. And when, you know, I know there's people that have done longer binges than 6 seasons, but I still need to watch Defenders. So maybe I might need a break. The other thing I really did is I went to a game convention. So I went to Strategicon Gateway 2017 at the LEX Hilton. That ran from Friday the 1st until Monday the 4th. Played a lot of RPGs. Attended a live podcast recording that you may hear me once or twice on the Happy Jacks Season 20, Episode 4.
Twice. It was definitely twice.
Well, I tease it a little bit, see if they could do it. But thanks, spoiler alert.
I'm still bitter that, you know, you go on another podcast and you can't mention our podcast. So maybe that's just me, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I like these people, Art. Come on. So I was in 5 RPG sessions. So I was an Ewok Jedi, a Klingon chief medical officer. I was also a super old sagey tiefling bard. I was also a superhero called Gunman. And I was also a knight of House Manderly in the Game of Thrones universe. I had so much fun. I don't know if I can go back because I don't know how I'm going to top this one, but had a lot of fun. Played a great game recommended by you, Alien Frontiers, that I'm looking forward. I'm going to try to break out tomorrow night, but we'll see how that goes. But had a lot of fun. Met a lot of cool people. It was just awesome. And other than that, that's going to end my share time. So hopefully, as I've been off all this week, and I'm still kind of on a high, and I'm still kind of getting over, you know, the lack of sleep and maybe some concrete or drinking, you know, water out of the trough kind of thing. I don't know. But anyways, we'll see how that goes. So now we're going to end share time rather abruptly, and we're going to go on over to news. So this is a part of the show, since we have new listeners, where Art and I, we just kind of scour some of our favorite websites and anything that comes across as interesting, at least to us, we're going to give it a quick mention or not so quick mention. So Art, why don't you start with the first news story?
All right, well, I'm going to lead off with a little news tidbit that I picked up straight from my buddy Sid. We had talked about this in the past, MoviePass. And I remember they had, you know, this 3-tiered structure for watching movies. Well, MoviePass is dropping its subscription fee to $10 a month. And I thought this was absolutely crazy. And you can literally watch a movie a day for $10 a month. And I couldn't even understand how they're making this work. But then I looked into the article, and Mitch Lowell, an ex-Netflix exec who became the CEO of MoviePass last year, told Bloomberg he doesn't think it's streaming services that are responsible for declining theater attendance. It's just the cost. So he's trying to cut the cost, and then the main thing, they're getting rid of this 3-tiered system, and they're looking to make up the money by selling the analytics of how people go to watch movies. And how often they'll go and, you know, what they're watching and having this all be trackable because they're going to be doing it through the MoviePass app. I thought this was utterly fascinating, and I definitely need to get in on this app. Sid already had it on his phone. He opened it up, showed me how it works. and this is definitely a game changer. It looks very interesting. I definitely need to get in on it.
Okay, so I've only heard rumors at this point because I am not a MoviePass customer, but you have to be within a proximity of the theater to buy the ticket.
Okay. Well, I don't know. And he pulled it up right on his phone, so there's theaters within proximity to where we are.
And did he get a debit card from them?
Yes. It puts it onto the card, then you take the card in, swipe the card. Because it's basically MoviePass is buying the ticket from the theater, kind of like at a set price, and then making up the difference.
Well, I think what they do is that they get a discount on the ticket, and then they put that amount on your debit card. So you're technically buying it from the theater.
Right.
Kind of thing. Which is interesting.
I don't know. Like I said,
that's definitely an interesting, not something that I thought that's how they were going to do business. But yeah. And also, I don't believe you can go to see the same movie twice.
Okay.
In the 30 days.
I
think only buy one ticket.
That. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not going to let you buy a bunch of tickets.
Yeah.
Like I said, they want the analytics.
Right.
So they want every person to be doing their – and for $10 a month, you need to be doing your own thing. I understand that perfectly.
Yeah.
It is
interesting, though. And, I guess AMC was trying to get out of the agreement. But, what are you going to do? All right. Firefox is not cooperating. Okay, we have a lot of director news. So I'm just going to start with the one I'm most excited about. Drew Goddard is to direct the X-Force film. So the guy who is behind Cabin in the Woods has been hired to both pen and direct the X-Men spinoff feature X-Force. That will be a Fox or 20th Century Fox joint. The movie will center on Deadpool and Cable as they lead a band of ruthless mutant warriors. So that's something to be excited about. And if you're a big X-Men fan, I guess they have 3 X-Men related features on the way. X-Men: New Mutants on April 13th, Deadpool 2 on June 1st, and X-Men: Dark Phoenix on November 2nd.
I am interested in all of those things.
And I'm also interested in Legion when it comes back for season 2.
I haven't watched any of that. Was that FX?
That's FX. That is FX. Okay. All right, Art, what do you got next?
All right, Apple and Amazon vying for Bond film rights. So we talked about how Eons is losing the license and Eon and MGM's previous deal with Sony Pictures, blah blah blah, is coming to expiration, and Apple and Amazon are willing to spend as much, if not more, than Warner for the rights. Apple, in particular, being in pursuit of the rights has raised eyebrows, as it could indicate more than just film rights are on the table. It could mean a deal for full ownership of the whole franchise, valued at somewhere between $2 and $5 billion. Should a full ownership transfer deal take place with someone like Apple, the franchise could spread into new arenas, including establishing a larger Bond cinematic universe with spin-offs or more direct and period-set adaptations of Fleming's original novels, and it could finally yield one or several Bond-related TV series. So we'll see where this goes. But, we could see James Bond, all his gadgets from Q, they'd be eye devices, not so much.
Yeah, we'll see. Do we want corporation? Well, studios are all corporations anyway, so who am I kidding? Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It all becomes corporate espionage instead of government espionage. Who knows?
Yeah, as long as it's not like Siri 007. AI secret agent. Yeah, we'll see. All right. More director news. Gavin O'Connor to direct Suicide Squad 2. Warner Brother Pictures and DC have chosen Warrior and The Accountant director Gavin O'Connor to helm the sequel to Suicide Squad. The decision made earlier today ends a lengthy search to replace the first film's David Ayer, who is now focused on the spinoff Gotham City Sirens. Ayer also did Bright on Netflix. It's going to be out at the end of this year. They're expected to get Will Smith, Margot Robbie, and Jared Leto all to come back. So if you enjoy the first one, in any degree, this is good news. I've heard a lot of good things about The Accountant. With Ben Affleck there. So maybe there's room for hope. All right, what you got next?
Okay, this one really pulled at my heartstrings. MGM relaunches Orion Pictures in 2018. So the Orion logo, I mean, you know, the little circle and then the line, and how many movies? I can't even begin to count the number of movies I've seen that, you know, Orion Pictures release logo at the beginning of. So it was created in 1978 and it went bankrupt in 1991. Orion Pictures released some of the most iconic and celebrated films of those two decades, including the likes of Silence of the Lambs, Amadeus, The Terminator, Platoon, Dances with Wolves, Hoosiers. MGM bought the company in 1997 and revived it as a distributor in 2013, and has since teamed with Samuel Goldwyn Films as co-distributor on several films recently. But this will take things much further. Veteran executive John Hedgman has been hired as president of the new Orion Pictures and will assemble a theatrical distribution, marketing, and digital team responsible for marketing and distribution of 4 to 6 modestly budgeted films a year. So we'll see if it can become the powerhouse that, like I said, really affected my formative years from 78 to 91. I mean, that's from when I was like 5 to just getting out of high school. So it will be interesting. I'm interested, very interested. I'm going to go back and look and see what other movies they put out that were just like mainstays of my childhood. But that logo really sticks with me.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing it, but remembering what movies it was in front of, I just don't.
Right. I know, yeah. I know. But it was so iconic, and you saw it so many times. You know, it's like the Paramount one, or, you know, just any of these ones that they've just been around forever, and they were just like a part of your childhood.
All right. This isn't director news, but this is bad news for probably certain listeners. You heard that they canceled Dark Matter, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, there's actually bad news, and then there's good news, because I know Tad is a big fan, and I'm a big fan of Killjoys, and I guess Killjoys has announced that they're going to be ending after 5 seasons. So, but they at least, since we're in season 3 now, at least we know that they'll be able to wrap the story up, is what I'm laboring to say. All right, so Dark Matter is canceled. What does this? Why did it get canceled? Well, it had to come down to money, kind of thing. This was a show that was acquired by Sci-Fi, not developed in house, and I guess it became very pricey based on that fact, and they just decided that they're gonna
cut their losses.
Yeah, networks have been pushing very hard in recent years to develop their shows in-house, then acquire them from outside production companies so as to take advantage of revenue from licensing to streaming services or releasing them on their own. Series creator Joseph Malazzi said that the ratings had fallen off a bit since the second season, but it was a 10% drop as opposed to the industry average of 25%. With delayed viewing figures, the series was also Sci-Fi's most watched shows in 2017. So his 5-year plan will not come to fruition, and the network didn't want to take a meeting about doing a 6-episode final season. So as usual, he's talking to other networks. The third and apparent final season will be hitting Netflix on September 25th.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. All right, Art, where you go next?
Okay. Well, here's another one that's a real hit, and punch in the gut, I should say. Mm-hmm. Star Wars and Marvel leave Netflix for Disney. So it has been made official. Where is it? Iger. Is it Bob Iger? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob Iger. We've now decided to put the Marvel and Star Wars movies on this app as well. It will have the entire output of the studio animation live action at Disney, including Pixar, Star Wars, and all the Marvel films. So yeah, we talked before about how they're going to do their own streaming video on demand service for Disney, and Disney has Marvel and Star Wars, so they're going to put all their eggs in one basket and start pushing their own streaming service. And, you know, even with that, just that basic you know, Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, they're going to get everybody, just depending on the price. I mean, I suppose if they try and get too greedy with it, people won't subscribe. But I guess we'll see where they put themselves out price-wise. I saw a very interesting thing that somebody posted. I forget who said it, but they said eventually somebody is going to bundle all these streaming services together and call it Cable 2.0.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But that's the way the market is heading. What do you got?
All right. My last story. You kind of need to know that Colin Trevorrow will not be directing Star Wars Episode 9. And what seems like is becoming a trend for Disney is they cannot agree on the plot of the movie or the script, so he's left over creative differences. And so now everyone's saying, well, who's going to be the director of Episode 9? Well, there's a guy that works for Doc Sports and MyBookie, Rafael Esparza. And so they, I guess his website is taking bets on who's going to be the director, and you can get odds on who's going to direct. And so I'm just going to quickly go over the possibilities. So Rian Johnson, who, you know, he directed The Last Jedi. And so you're just going to get a little more than even money. Same thing with Ron Howard. You know, if he's doing Han Solo, maybe he could jump on over to Episode 9. At 5-1, Lawrence Kasdan. He wrote The Force Awakens, and he said he'd be available if you got some help. They have J.J. Abrams at 7-1. Joe Johnston, director of Captain America the First Avenger, 12-1. Patty Jenkins, director of Wonder Woman, 20-1. Raphael says she's red hot because she did Wonder Woman, and I've read that Star Wars 9 will have a lot of female themes, with Rey becoming a full-fledged Jedi. Spoiler alert. Okay. At 26-1, we have Matt Reeves. He did Cloverfield, so he's kind of a disciple of J.J. Abrams, so that could happen. Ava DuVernay, 40-1. Her name popped up a lot because she did A Wrinkle in Time. She would add a female influence that I think Star Wars 9 will have. She should be around 50 or 61 because I feel like any female director had a shot, it'd be Patty Jenkins. But I think a lot of Ava's fans will be into it. At 75-1, we have Ryan Coogler, who's doing Black Panther. At 151, we have Denis Villeneuve, who's doing Blade Runner 2049. At 165-1, we have Spielberg. He was supposed to do Return of the Jedi, but couldn't due to Director's Guild rules. I don't know what that means. And at 200-1, shudder to think, Christopher Nolan, 200-1. I don't think he's going to do it, but it's fun for article talk. And then they have George Lucas at 251.
So, you know,
I
go put $5 on that.
There's worse lottery tickets that you could do.
Right, yeah. Right. $5 on Lucas coming back. I could totally see doing that. You know, and it pays out over $1,000. Yeah, yeah, that you know, whatever.
All right. So that was my last story.
My last story. Okay, so we just came off of last week talking about Tulip Mania because it was releasing. So this one caught my eye. Benedict Cumberbatch in The Current War. So this is the first trailer is out for The Current War, upcoming period tale of the rivalry between Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse and the race to create a marketable and sustainable electricity system. There is a board game out there, and it is The War of Currents, Tesla versus Edison, and it's talking about the battle for AC and DC, so I just thought that was interesting. But Benedict Cumberbatch, always, you know, a draw, and these period pieces, they're always interesting, but they never get the people coming in to see them like you would think. The Cumberbatch might be a little bit more so we'll see what happens, but I just love these kind of offbeat, off-topic, niche, independent type films.
Yes, very good. Very good. All right, so I believe that's going to be it for news.
Yes.
All right. So everyone, new or old, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. Our website is backseatproducers.com, where you could find back episodes of this show. And there's another show, backseatproducers.com, where you can listen to Tony and Adam, Alex and Kayla, and whoever else drops in. So go check it out. You can leave us a voicemail. There's all kinds of information on there, so go check it out. And other than that, again, thanks for listening. And we will check in next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.